going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think it's a typical Colt move. I mean, here's a team that needed a franchise quarterback to pass up a Trent Dilfer when all you have is Jim Harbaugh. Give me a break.
You know, we got a guy up there. Who in the hell is Mel Kiper, in a way?
It's Mike Shope.
Quarterback? No! Ken O'Brien of California Gators.
Everybody said if Marino was going to be around at that time, they'd take Marino. Obviously, the Jets know something that, you know, the people up here don't.
And the Bulldogs.
Tim Tebow is going to be a Denver Bronco and a first round.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
With the 30th pick, the Buffalo Bills select.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Draft day. Would you maybe consider draft day the two best words in the English language? It's a debate.
It's good.
How about in the sports lexicon?
This particular draft day, I mean, need I remind you, you have it framed on your wall, the results of our sports day draft. This was my top pick.
Yeah.
And I didn't even really know who I was anymore. It was one of those moments where I'm like, looking at all these things, like writing them down, having a list, and, you know, piecing it together. And, well, I mean, it was early in the thing. Like, that's my favorite thing. I don't know if you guys picked other stuff that I would have picked or not.
No, we did. We overlapped.
Okay.
It wasn't a draft that I remember. It was just your top 10.
Just talking, yeah.
Yeah, you made your top 10.
Yeah.
Mine was week one, Sunday of week one.
Yeah. Draft day has really, really grown on me. And you know, the whole thing is what it is. It, you know, aside from the hugs with the commissioner and, you know, really, I don't know, the crowd, the people, but the prospects, their families, whether they're there or they're, you know, on a couch in their living room and with all their friends gathered around them. I love those moments more as I get older.
You eat it up.
It's probably has something to do with, you know, my kids not being little anymore. You know, just
the culmination of the journey.
Yeah, yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. And, you know, for me, a little bit, I mean, it doesn't rise to the level of the NFL draft or even the NHL draft, but having a kid that went through it three different times and got picked all three times, you know, albeit, well, the NHL draft, he went pretty early, but the other two drafts, the OHL and the USHL, where he was late round picks both times. It's still a really cool thing to experience with your family and your friends.
I can certainly believe that.
Even at that level. And that has only pushed me further to the stories, the families, the whole thing. Certainly I'm interested in who goes where and, you know, the prognosticating and all that. But the thing that puts it over the top for me is the emotion of the night for the players involved.
The closest I've come to being a subject in a draft would be gym class, probably.
Which
I don't always have great memories of.
Yeah.
Right. But yes, that's part of it. The emotion and all of that. Sal Capaccio is going to join us right off the top here. to set the day up, and we'll talk to Sal again later, and when, there might be news too, but we want to start draft day coverage, you know, right here with Sal. Best day of the year for you? Is that going too far? How do you feel, Sal?
Yeah, I'd say that's going too far. I think draft night is a good night. It's a cool night. It's a long weekend, so you kind of have to buckle up when you're in my position. And, you know, there's a lot of waiting around, like there is for everybody. So it's fun. There's no doubt. I don't want to mischaracterize it. You know what I mean?
But it's a longer haul for you. Like, you're on the edge of, like you're saying, 3 days in a row of pretty hardcore. Whereas, you know, me, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. My draft weekend is tonight. I watch it earlier than I ever think I will every year. I'm there way before the picks start because I just love it. So I'm there. Friday is like, okay, I really want to know what they do in round two and round three, but I'm not glued to it. Saturday is like 8 o'clock, who'd they pick? Like for me, right? And you don't have that luxury.
No, and I remember, you know, before doing this job, kind of being the same way. In fact, the last few years before I moved back to Buffalo, I was actually at track meets during the NFL draft. I was at a track meet the night the Bills drafted C.J. Spiller. That's how I found out. Like, oh, okay, C.J. Spiller's drafted. That's pretty cool. I remember I was at a track meet when they drafted John McCargo, right, in the first round, right? Like, that's how I found out. Going way back in the day, I actually loved the draft so much as a kid. I do remember staying home from school and, you know, watching the NFL draft, and I had a tummy ache, right? I mean, that's kind of what happened. I think my first draft memory was actually not the draft, though. It was the day after. I was in line to kind of walk into school, and my buddy comes up to me, Kevin, and he goes, did you see the Bills traded Fergie yesterday during the draft? It was Joe Ferguson, so 1985, right? I just looked that up to see. That was my first kind of draft memory. Nowadays, it's work. It's a long weekend, and I have to be kind of on top of every pick as opposed to what we're talking about, right? Which is you don't just wait for the Bills to see it. I mean, it's like it can happen at any time, and you got to be ready to rock and roll.
John McCargo, points for that. Right. 2006, second first-round pick the Bills had in that draft with Whitner being the first.
Yep.
All right, Sal, well, what are your latest thoughts on what happens tonight? We've certainly talked about all the possibilities and the position needs and everything else. I doubt anything's different today from yesterday, but maybe there's something I missed or maybe you've changed your mind in some way.
Well, I have a mock. I posted a mock draft. I do one mock every year that does not include trades, and everybody kind of stays where they are. And this year is very unique because every team has its own original draft pick. This is the only year ever, I believe, that I read that no first-round picks have been traded. Nothing has been traded in this draft until the second round. The first pick in this draft that's actually been traded that has changed hands is number 39, and that was Chicago and Carolina going back to the year they traded and Bryce Young was drafted. And then the next year it was Chicago who took Caleb Williams. That being said, I have all 32 picks, my first round mock, and the way it fell, and you know, you go into this without trying to do it, right? Without saying, oh, who do I want to the Bills? That's not what I do. You know, I try to look at it. I'm looking at number 5. It was a very tough spot for me with Jacksonville, right? Number 8, Carolina, was very tough for me. Number 9. And then you just keep going through the process. And ultimately, I landed on defensive lineman, defensive tackle, Tyleek Williams for the Buffalo Bills. I know he is not graded as the 30th overall prospect, and far from it from a lot of people. But as you guys know, I've been saying this for a while, I really believe the Bills want to add at defensive line. I think they want to add in the interior. I think they're going to go defense heavy in this draft. I could see them trading down, but if they stay at 30, I don't do trades. I think they're going to go with a really good run defender on the defensive line. And I had Kenneth Grant off the board. I have Derek Harmon off the board. I love him for the Bills. There's some shoulder concerns there. Does he fall? I'm going to number 17, and I have the Bills taking Tyleek Williams of Ohio State.
Right, and that he's sort of in the same mold as Kenneth Grant, right? I mean, I don't know about what he does athletically and if he projects to have, you know, perhaps the upside that Grant has been described as having, but 6'3", 334, so there's your space-eating type guy. So, you know, makes sense. That is not a name that I have seen a lot attached to the Bills.
Another name I haven't seen a lot attached, and I think that we should at least keep an eye out for is Darius Alexander from Toledo. He's a little smaller than Tyleek, but he's a really good athlete who can play inside. I think he's a little less of an inside player and more of a kind of a piece you can move around. Like, to me, I think Tyleik Williams represents, and Tyleik Williams can play the three technique, but you can put him at the one. I mean, that's what he does. He's a run defender. He's not going right. to give you a lot in the pass rush. I think the Bills just want to really improve there and get, you know, bigger and improve their run defense and help, you know, keep their linebackers clean. So that's why I went with this player.
The question I will have about any guy they pick in that spot that fits that profile is whether or not they can accomplish the space eater, big guy, one technique guy next to Ed Oliver later on. If that's what they're really looking for, right? I think first round, I think you might want to shoot for somebody. That's why Grant is so appealing to me. Like, Trapasso keeps telling us, Sal, he's 21 years old, and there is still some athletic upside there. So he's not just going to be that guy. And I'm not saying necessarily Williams is going to would be settling for that too. But there's got to be a point where the you know, diminishing return of pulling the last big guy that's rated highly enough to go early. Versus taking somebody on Saturday that's, you know, 6'3", 325 pounds and can just sort of eat up space.
Yeah, I agree that there's a danger of if you think that way, it could be a reach or a just kind of drafting for need, and that's how you get to maybe a Kyrie Elam, right? Where you say, okay, well, we got to get a corner. Let's go get that corner. But this is a player I think a lot of people do grade very highly. I think Mel Kiper has him maybe as his fifth best defensive interior lineman. And that includes a guy like Walter Nolan, who isn't the same kind of guy the Bills want, you know, right there, right? I don't think. I think that's too much of a undersized guy. I like Kenneth Grant a lot. I just don't see him lasting. Same. I have him going to his former college coach, Jim Harbaugh, to the Chargers in Michigan, from Michigan, at 22. That's where I have him. I think that what you're saying, though, is how I thought about corner, Bulldog, which is I do think the Bills want to add corner. I have in this draft, you count Travis Hunter, of course, and then Barron, Jadae Barron, Will Johnson, and Trey Amos. I have all of them going. But you know who's still left? Maxwell Harrison, Siobhan Revelle, Benjamin Morrison, Darian Porter. I think you might still be able to do that at pick number 56. So the diminishing returns on if there's that guy who could really that the interior plugger. Or can you still get a good corner, especially after you just signed Tre'Davious White and you have a good, you know, at least
fall
feel
back.
For him to be able to... Yeah. Yes, yeah, exactly. So that's how I feel about that position.
It's interesting, and you're probably right. I haven't done my own mock draft, but I've read them all, and I play around with some of these simulators. And when I play as the Bills, my problem is getting a corner in round two. Like, it dries up. I don't know if all those guys are projected to go in the top 50, necessarily, but I did the ESPN one today, and like I'll just wait on corner until round two and see what happens. And then I was scrolling down and down and down and down. I'm gonna get an F if I
where
do
are
this.
All the names?
Where are the names? Right. So right. I think you could look at that either way. And I don't know. You just rattled off like eight names there at corner. Also, I think Johnson could be in play because there are enough of these mock drafts that push him down. He had turf toe, and he's got a knee injury or a hamstring injury that stemmed from a knee or something that has, you know, some people speculating that he could be a faller. Would the Bills do that? Like, how does he sort of rank for you at that position?
Yeah, you know what that would come down to me, Mike? And obviously, this is just we just don't know what their medical is on him, right? I mean, he's a fantastic player. It would really come down to what do they think about their medical on him? And we just said a minute ago, they got Tre'Davious White. He can man that spot for a little while. It's a good fallback. Can you wait on maybe Will Johnson to be ready and then step in? Because I think when he's healthy, he's as good as any corner in this draft. The question would be, how healthy do you think he can get? How quickly can he get healthy? Can he stay healthy? Because I look at a guy like Siobhan Revelle, he's coming off an ACL tear. And yet there's a lot of people linking him to the Bills, and he's a really good player. And like just because a guy has an injury, obviously doesn't mean you have to stay away from him. But it really comes down to if you think he can stay healthy. Can he play 4 years in this league? And at a high level, if you're going to take him in the first rounder, that's kind of really the question you have to ask yourself. And I don't know the answer to that from the Bills, because all of these medical concerns obviously will vary from team to team.
Right. Benjamin Morrison's another corner that has had injury questions, right? Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Revelle there. So, I don't know. The Bills don't exactly have, since Bean and McDermott have been here, and that's all that really matters because they're the people in charge, I don't know that they have much of a history of grabbing guys that had, you know, questions physically coming in, right? We all remember Shaq Lawson was going to need shoulder surgery or something, but they picked him anyway. That's, you know, that was Rex Ryan and Doug Whaley. The Bills have sort of shied away from guys with medicals. I mean, I shouldn't say it that strongly. I just can't think of a guy that they picked that they went, you know, at the news conference like, yeah, no, we're pretty confident he's going to be ready. You know, that usually isn't a question.
It's only in a very small regard. Like, Dalton Kincaid did have some sort of back issue, I think, when they drafted him, right? And then he missed a little bit of time early on in OTAs, but it wasn't a big deal. And then I think, you know, Keon Coleman had something that popped up maybe, but wasn't an issue at all. Like, there was just some question. I don't know if I remember right. But you're right. There's been nothing with any of these guys. I think that's a spot where they want to be really sure about a lot of these guys. So, yeah, that's the tough part, obviously, as this draft starts falling and not knowing that.
Sal Capaccio with us. The draft starts tonight. One player we've obviously been talking a ton about is James Cook. Breece Hall, Jets running back, tweets a fingers crossed emoji today, and there's growing speculation that the Jets have been shopping Breece Hall. I listened to an analyst, Drew Dinsick at RotoWorld, the other day predict that he expects several veteran running backs to be traded, and Cook would be on somebody's list when they would say that because of his contract thing. What would you say the chances are? I mean, are you going to completely dismiss the possibility of a Cook trade or not quite? Or maybe, on the other hand, you could be sort of thinking that it is almost likely. How do you feel about it?
Never completely dismiss. It would have to take something to really blow the Bills away. That's the way I would look at it. Like, I just don't I don't think the Bills are looking to do that. I don't think the Bills are shopping James Cook. I think Brandon Bean's answer the other day about James Cook should tell you a lot. And I don't think he's trying to just, you know, put a positive spin on it only to say, okay, let's not assume it's about the contract. But when he says, I look forward to him putting on the helmet this year and he'll be ready to roll, and, you know, talking about and saying, like, trying to make sure everybody knows it might not be contract and all that, you know, they've stayed from the beginning really high on James Cook and what they believe he can do for the Buffalo Bills. And you guys know, I've said this many times, if you're going to trade for James Cook, you're going to have to pay him. I mean, a team has got to do that. Right. I don't know what team is going to trade for him and pay him, give up that asset, because if you're going to pay him, you're not going to want to get up as big of an asset. And I don't think the Bills are interested in just getting a small asset for him.
And part of that, too, maybe not just in terms of Cook, but this 10 draft picks number that the Bills have, you've said a few times that maybe that's a couple more than they need or that maybe they would think is ideal. We've been talking about the possibility of trading out of 30 to a team that's trying to move up for a quarterback fifth-year option, and the Bills in that scenario end up, for the second year in a row, not picking in the first round. But that's probably another draft pick. Like, you'd be adding to that number, I think, if you were to do that. So I know you said yesterday you don't think last year would mean anything to the idea that they, you know, would have – it'd be 2 years in a row in that scenario, again, trading out of the first round. But I wonder if they feel like they've got as many picks as they need.
Yeah, that could impact it for sure, having 10 picks. Every year is different. I don't see 10 players making this roster. At the end of the day, 10 new players, 10 new rookies and draft picks. I don't. But, you know, they did use all 10 last year. 8 of them made the team. And then one of them, Daquan Hardy, made the practice squad. And then Travis Clayton was an international guy. He also made the practice squad. You know, they could also feel that it's okay. I mean, like, we'll risk losing a guy. We still need to replenish and keep our practice squad going. So that's okay. And I can understand that. That would impact, though, what they would do, I think, with pick number 30 if there's a trade down option. It is really interesting today, and I don't know if you guys are going to get to this or not, but it opens the door for me to talk about all this stuff about Malachi Starks today. I mean, there's been a lot of, like, guys being the teams, guys who do this, you know, linking Malachi Starks to the Bills. And it's one discussion to have about the Bills doing that, which I don't think they would. But I keep thinking, who wants you to know that, right, Mike? Like you always say, who wants you to know that? Like, why is this? And I thought, you know, maybe it's starting to get out there because maybe the Bills are trying to entice somebody to come up to 30. Maybe the Bills are like, look, we know they don't have 30 first round grades. They probably have like 15 at the most, to be honest with you. They're not going to trade up into the top 15. So maybe why sit at 30 if you're not going to get a guy that's actually commensurate with a first round grade in the first round? Go down, get some value like last year. And maybe the way you do that is you start getting linked to some guys that maybe another team wants to come up and get.
Yeah, I the trade down idea has really grown on me today. And it's not just because Starks is being talked about. I mean, that might be a fine enough idea.
Right.
But, you know, I agree. I make the point all the time. No way are they drafting 10 players. Like, I think 8 will be maybe the number they end up. But, and sure, trading down does add players, but they can burn through some of those picks moving around in the fourth and fifth round or whatever they need to do. What I do think would make the team, should make the team, unless it's a disaster, is 3 seconds and a third. If you can get paid a third to move into the second, right, 34 or whatever, then I've got four players that are maybe that third round pick's probably late. It's not, you know, like on the plateau that exists from like 15 through into the second round and maybe even into the early third, but it's close. Like, I feel like I'd come out with four players I would expect to play for me in 2025.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good point you make, but I haven't thought of it that way, but you're right. Like, it's not necessarily the quantity, it's more the quality too, right? I mean, if you're gonna, like 10 guys are gonna make the team, but man, if I can get 5 or 6 guys in the first 5 rounds of the draft, I'm pretty good shot. A lot of those guys are gonna be on my team. I mean, you really rarely, you know, cut 5th round picks. It just doesn't happen. And then, hey, let's see where the wind blows after that, and we'll see what we can do and throw some darts, and who knows what we come up with. A guy blows us away at training camp. I mean, you know, that can happen for sure. So I do not dismiss the trade down option. I definitely think it's possible. But let's remember, I mean, actually, the Bills have traded up more than down in the last 3 years, right? I mean, so when people say, oh, my God, you know, last year, look what they did. This is, somebody texted me today, a friend of mine, and said, it's Bean's M.O. I'm like, well, not really. His M.O. has been everything. I mean, in 18, he moved up for Josh Allen. He moved up again for Tremaine Edmonds. In 22, he moved up for Kyir Elam. In 23, he moved up for Dalton Kincaid. In 24, he moved down and got, you know, Keon Coleman. So I just think it could go anyway.
Right. He moved down a little bit twice for Cook when that happened. I think Dawson Knox was a move up. Small, but still, it was, I think, I heard Chris Trapasso talking with Steve and Chris on my way in, and he mentioned that as an example of a small move in, I think it was the third round.
Cody Ford was a move up also. Day 2.
Yes, I'm just specifically talking first round, but you guys are right. I think he does have a pretty good track record of moving up in some of those like second, third, and fourth rounds, though. You're right.
You know, there have been more interesting years for a draft than what this has been so far. No first round picks have been traded at all, which is very unusual. It seems like Jacksonville is having a little fun with, you know, whatever they're trying to get out. I don't know if it's going to matter if you try to get somebody to trade up for Malachi Starks or whoever it is at 30, but you've got both directions. They're going heavy with, you know, leaks to reporters, and I don't know. I don't know how they're doing it, but, you know, you've got people thinking that maybe they'll get to Travis Hunter today. And
I know, right?
And Rappaport was talking about that. I don't know if I'm just being played. I'm sure I am. By somebody.
Right.
And also, the possibility has been mentioned in a lot of places that they move down, and it's the Bears who move up for Genty. The Bears are the betting favorite for Genty now, and they don't pick until 10. I guess they could get him there. So anything else grabbing you today in terms of rumors or whatever?
Yeah, so the latest on what you're saying is Aditi Kinkawabla has just reported that the Jags could very well trade back and take Tech McMillan. They really like him. I actually have the Jags taking Tech McMillan at the 5th pick, because I agree that I think he would be somebody Liam Cohen would like. I mean, this is a team that their offensive coordinator just came from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where he had Mike Evans. That's the comp to Tech McMillan. You look at their roster, and I think that's what they want to do. Tony Boselli is now running the operation over there, right? I mean, offensive guy. I know that they could use a lineman. That's in play. I think they want to go offense. I think that's possible. And I do think that the Bears want to get their hands on a running back. I actually have 2 running backs going in the top 10, because I have Omarion Hampton going to the Bears at number 10, because I don't do trades. And I have Genty going to the Raiders. So it wouldn't surprise me. Tech McMillan, to me, is the guy there. That was a very big pivot point. I think the other one for me was New Orleans. Do they go quarterback? I do not have them taking Sanders. I do have Sanders going to the Steelers. But the thing for me, guys, is what do the Steelers think about Aaron Rodgers? What do they think about their quarterback situation here? Because no one knows that unless we get something tonight, and then suddenly we know that the Steelers either are or aren't going to have Rodgers on there. And then real quickly, just this Malachi Stark stuff, I wanted to address it. I think it's really interesting that all these people are linking the Bills, and I'll just hold on what I've said here, which is I understand any fan who says the Bills could get a Malachi Starks or Nick Emmanuori, which is, you know, Bulldogs guy, and there's a fantastic player, and I have him going up, by the way, earlier than the Bills.
Yeah.
I understand that. My position is I don't think the Bills are interested in doing that. I think the Bills feel strongly that Taylor Rapp is a guy that they really believe in at safety for all he does for them. And they just spent a second-round pick last year on Cole Bishop. And this is not a position like DT where you rotate, right? You don't just put guys on the field all the time. Special packages you do. So I don't think there's a spot to do that for the Buffalo Bills, and especially early with a pick. And that's why I just I question, you know, why that's happening.
Very good. Well, hopefully we get some action during the day. We'll talk to you again, Sal, later on as we get closer to the festivities.
You got it, guys. I'll be down at One Bills Drive shortly. Thanks.
All right. That is visit number one of the day for our Sal Capaccio on the West Hur Hotline. This first appearance, as well as the one later, will be brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Three times on one show has probably been done.
Sure.
Maybe even by Sal.
Yeah.
Four?
I don't know about four.
I don't remember three, but it's 20 years. I mean, probably somebody's...
I feel like three times probably we had two scheduled and maybe something happened that we needed to like, okay, get Sale in the media room, get him on the headset. We got to talk to Sale again.
At that point, you should just sit down in here, just not even, just stay. I keep getting called back. All right. Well, it's a great night. 803-0550 if you want to tell us what you think will happen or what should. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here. We'll hang out all afternoon, keep track of what's being speculated and any sort of trades, of course. Hopefully we get a couple. That'd be fun. Thanks for listening. This is a great day. We'll be back after this here on WGR.
Don't be surprised if the Jaguars trade back. Ooh. I've heard from multiple sources, and there are multiple people around the league saying that the Jaguars have a lot of interest in big wide receiver Tet McMillan. That would give Trevor Lawrence another great target. That would be exciting for new head coach Liam Cohn, but they don't need to pick him at 5. They don't need to pick him at 6. They don't need to pick him at 7. So the Jags could be making a trade down to 10.
Aditi Kinkabwala is on one side of the Jaguars fence, and there are people on the other side that they might be live for Travis Hunter at 2. All right, let's be the Jaguars for a minute. What do we want?
What do we want? I think I want to trade down and draft the receiver. I think that's what I would want to do.
It shouldn't be Jenty.
Right.
It really shouldn't be Jenty.
I agree.
They could go offensive tackle. There's that at 5. I don't think they should need to trade down to do that. They could just do that. They really don't need an edge rusher. So, okay. I don't know what to think of McMillan. Like, he's been one of the most... The receivers have all been criticized for different things. Mm-hmm. Golden may be the least of all, but the profile has... I won't say too much here. More bust potential than other profiles, you know, the fast one. McMillan has a competitiveness, criticism, and I don't know. He seems good, but I still like Burden.
Yeah. I saw him comp McMillan. Boy, I wish I remember who. I saw him comped to somebody. Oh no! We heard it here. Sale just said it.
Said Evans.
Mike Evans. Like, if that's like a real tomato ketchup comp, I have no problem taking him. Where, you know, in the top 10.
The most common comparison for McMillan is Drake London. To the point that people make fun of it now because everybody says Drake London.
Yeah.
For him, they didn't run. They weren't fast, big. You know, contested catches. But again, not like a burner. So, I mean, he's good.
He's good, and Evans is even better. I mean, I think. I mean, all he's done is go for 1,000 yards every year. I mean, these things aren't direct comparisons. Just, you know, if I thought I had a chance, you know, a reasonable chance to be drafting a guy that could turn into something comparable to Mike Evans, I wouldn't hesitate. I wouldn't worry about the 40 time. I wouldn't worry about any of that stuff. I, you know, competitiveness, how much does he love football, you know, doing the work. that's another layer that I would want to do my homework on. But I just feel like a lot of that stuff at this time of the year, especially, not that the stuff on McMillan is suddenly new the last couple days, like some other stuff that I feel like is sort of making the rounds at least more aggressively. It probably is, all of it's probably been out there just hiding in some corner, but now it's all coming out. I just feel like there's questionable motivation for that stuff coming to light, and maybe some team that's drafting, you know, in the teens is trying to see what they can do to get McMillan to fall. So I don't know if I might even suggest the Jaguars just stay at 5 and draft McMillan. But what she's saying there makes sense. If they don't have to spend that and get paid to do it and still get their guy, I mean, why not? That's, I got no issue with that.
It's also always, you have to be a little bit careful assuming that the teams behind you, who in that case probably would not be drafting a receiver, are the teams that end up drafting in those slots.
Right.
Like, oh, well, you can just move to 10 because 6, 7, 8, 9 don't want a receiver, but that could change.
Right.
It could end up being somebody else. I think Miami could be interesting. Miami needs a lot. And they're at 13. And, you know, they apparently want to trade Jalen Ramsey. So you could expect a corner maybe for the Dolphins. That seems logical. But it also is, are you improving by doing that? You know, you really just sort of replaced the guy. You made a hole and then filled it. So I don't know how good that looks. But there's Tyreek Hill speculation too. And I've got an offensive coach. The offense needs to get better, more consistent. And I wonder if they're a team. They don't have a McMillan on their team, the Dolphins.
No, they've got all pretty much small speed. Waddle's a little bigger than Hill, and Hill's a thick, small guy. So he's not like he gets really bounced around. But
Jonnu Smith is their closest.
Right. What they don't have is a solid possession type receiver, I think. And that's maybe what McMillan, and that might, you know, push you away from a guy like that. I think you hear that description. And because I've read that about him too, and I thought, do I need to draft that early? That sounds like, I don't literally mean this, but that sounds like the worst case scenario for a guy I'm drafting in the first round. His ceiling is solid possession receiver. What? I want to shoot for higher with that. But there is value in having a solid possession receiver, especially if you don't have one.
Yes. Thomas Jefferson was the first to say that, I believe. That's been said.
The news conference after the 1777 draft.
Yes. 803-0550, we welcome your calls on the draft, which gets going tonight, round one, 8 o'clock. I'm thinking a lot about, you said earlier that you're warming up to trading down.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I asked Sal if he thought that they're doing this last year would mean anything to their decision this year. And he said, no, absolutely not. That wouldn't matter. That is also what Brandon Bean would say. Like, he may have even been asked that. He would say, of course not. Like, he might even be offended by the question. It would affect me, I think.
Well, it definitely affects the fan base. There's no question about that. And, you know, saying you don't care about it could, like, you know, you got to work really hard and get pretty twisty, but that you don't care about the fans. You don't care what they think, right? But I think in that job, you do have to take on that persona, even if you don't want to say it publicly. You got to do what you think is the right thing to do. And I agree. I think it's an interesting question, and it's one that I would be conflicted about. Like, if I had that job, especially with how it's only 1 year, but how it went out of the gate is, you know, well, the guy that you passed on went to your biggest rival, and that seems to be going pretty well, and our season came and went, and we had news conferences at the end where you talked about how much your guy has to learn and figure out about how to be a pro, or, you know, words to that effect.
Not to mention Carter.
Right.
Like, they didn't get a lot out of it. They
right.
They didn't reap the benefits, to say the least, for, you know,
right.
by yeah. trading down.
That's right. So all of that would give me some pause, but I think I have to put blinders on and go, okay, what's the pool look like, right? As we're going through it, like, am I going to be reaching for almost anything that I need here or might want here? And if the answer is yes, and you feel like there's enough of a plateau at all of those positions, then, I don't know, 3 seconds and a third in place of a 1 and 2 seconds, I think that sounds okay to me, especially if it's a high second like it was last year, which is what I'm assuming if it's, you know, the Giants or the Browns coming up, trading you their, you know, 34, 35, whatever that pick is.
I hope we get one of those moves so we then find out what the price was, whether that's the Bills or a team around them that would maybe make that trade. Some of the mock drafts I see, many of them have the Giants and the Browns trading back in to draft their young quarterback, but it's like in the teens where I see it. Ahead of Pittsburgh. It's to get ahead of Pittsburgh, which is like the betting favorite today on Pittsburgh is Shedeur Sanders at 21. So maybe it would be a trade like that, but I'd like to know. This draft tech, maybe I should find a new chart, because every time we get into sort of like hypothetical trades, it always feels light.
Yeah.
Using this one, it always feels like the real trade would be better for the team trading down, more expensive for the team trading up. Take the Giants. You and I did this before the show today. That's how excited we are.
Right. I walked in the door and said, you got your chart out? Because I am wondering what I get paid to move from 30 to, you know, 34, 35, something like that.
It is, no kidding, very rare that we'll have a sports conversation before 3 o'clock. But today we did. And it's something like the Bills trade 30 and a Saturday pick for 34 and a late third. It might be good for the Bills. It would be probably good for whoever makes that trade from the first round, that the Browns and the Giants both have late thirds in addition to their early thirds. So that's probably the more realistic price, is like for the Giants to be pick 99. So you go from 30 to 34, you add pick 99, and you give up like 170 or whatever that would be.
Yeah.
And that makes sense to me,
yeah,
too.
That's a way to not add picks. Like, you're adding a valuable pick, but you're tossing another one onto the fire, and so you still are at 10.
Right, which I don't mind. We've talked about that a lot. I don't mind the number 10 for this, because you're never expecting them all to make the team, no matter how many you have. You just want to have the best odds that you find the right rookies, thinking about, like, Benford in one, you know, very positive example. Just, what if you threw the pick away, right? Then you'd really need a corner, by the way.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
I like that, too. My favorite thing about what they did last year, as I've said many times, was that they had all day Friday to wheel and deal with that first pick. Having the first pick on Friday seems like that's really good, because there's somebody, 31 other teams, there's somebody they want, and you just keep going. But I don't know if the Bills were even open to that. I might guess that they weren't. They traded down twice, right, and like, you know what? We're going to pick our player now. And that, I kind of think, is maybe their attitude about tonight, too, is we did this last year, and it didn't really – well, it didn't all pay off in multiple ways. The players involved, the extra picks that they got that really didn't matter in year one anyway. I feel like my reaction to that this year would be like, let's just not do that this time. And I don't think they'll be reaching – we've talked about 10 players, if not more, that seem reasonable at 30. That they're on mock drafts, you know, sometimes they go earlier, sometimes they're not picked, but it's common that you'll see them in that range. And if I'm the Bills, I get one of those guys, I can live with that. I don't feel like I'll have reached to draft Amos or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Sal on the safety idea. I think he's making a good argument that he doesn't think they'd want to do that. But a lot of people are putting them on safety. I'm going with Sal on that one. So whoever it is, corner, defensive tackle, I don't think it's likely to seem like a reach. We'll see. If it's somebody we've never talked about, then it will.
Right.
Then we'll all be like, why didn't they trade down for this player?
Like, if some linebacker that they have graded really highly falls to them or something and they do that, that might be like the worst case scenario for tonight for me.
UCLA.
Like, to me, that's even worse than trading out.
Carson Schwesinger.
Right. His name came up yesterday.
Is the player.
And there also is, I guess, some talk that the Alabama guy, Campbell, I think is his last name, could fall. There's a shoulder issue there. And that he looks like an absolute hellraiser. But again, like, what am I... maybe I'm only a year away from really needing a new guy there, right? But, man, I just don't feel like for this year that that is good asset management if I were to sink. You know, even if the, you know, the guy could turn out to be a fantastic linebacker, like as good as Milano. I feel like I'm not helping myself this year that much because Milano is still here and Dorian Williams is behind him and I've got Terrell Bernard and yeesh. But I don't know. I mean, he might be the best player available if he falls that far. And that scenario is a little scary to me.
We'd love to hear your thoughts, 803-0550. We know, of course, a lot of you put a lot of time and energy into the draft. What do you want? Let us know. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Draft round one tonight starting at 8. You can follow it all here on WGR. Exciting day. NFL draft round one tonight. Follow it all here on WGR. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog at 803-0550. Here's Dennis. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, guys. So, Mike, your question is, what do you want to do tonight? I think, for me, there's a lot of different things that go into the decision that you would make, but I think with the positions that we're looking at as potential first-round picks between, I would say, essentially corner and a nose tackle, a true one-technique guy, those are probably the two biggest. I got to say, we got to go corner because he's a full-time positional player. I just kind of can't imagine that you'd take a premium first-round asset and use it on a rotational guy, especially if you just drafted Dwayne Carter in the third round last year to be the same type of player. You have a gaping hole at corner. There's no way that Trey White or Dane Jackson came in here to be the starter. They came in here because they know the system and they wanted to, you know, the Bills wanted to be comfortable moving on and through the process, having guys that they know the system, but they are not going to be the starters. So you have a gaping hole there, and I think you've got to fill it with a full-time guy. I can't imagine that they would do a rotational guy at 30.
I like how you're thinking. The only problem is, yes, they have added Ogunjobi, but he's going to miss 6 games. Their depth chart at D-tackle, Dwayne Carter is an Ed Oliver replace. He's not backup. He's not the 1T. He's so I don't really have a guy for that spot, you know, until Ogunjobi hits, and that's not until week 7. So that, you know, not that should drastically impact what you do, but they're not loaded there either. And I know it's a rotational piece, but I think eventually you're looking. I think if you're drafting the guy at 30, you want him to become the guy that dominates that rotation. In other words, Daquan Jones has been the guy that's the number one at that spot, and that to me is a problem. And I need someone else there, and I don't know how soon that transition happens, so I appreciate the point about the part-time player thing, but they need a dude in there soon. Like I thought Daquan Jones was a cut candidate, and it seems pretty clear now that he wasn't, and you know, unless they're thinking, you know, afterward, maybe how this goes could impact that. I don't know, but I think they're thin there too. But you're right; it's not a true starting spot. Like if you had to put a team on the field today, Daquan Jones has been your starter. He's your starter, right? And you'll find your way to filling the 30% of snaps that somebody else has got to play. Whereas at corner, yeah, you're at guys that you're hoping are really going to be depth pieces.
I am with Dennis as corner over defensive tackle, and it's less about how many snaps my tackle would play than it is pass versus run defense. I think the point of the big defensive tackle is to be better against the run mostly. I know there's a pass rush element too, but the run defense was better by the numbers than I think it got credit for, and it's just not as important. And so I think the caller's point about they don't have a starting corner, you're saying they don't have a starting defensive tackle really either. Granted, I think it's a more important need for them as Dennis does. New mock draft out, and it's got a different name. Oh, by the way, I think also there's a chance. Who was it that was on the show? Was it Chris Trapasso or someone else that, like, the defensive tackles just aren't that good. They're not big and everything enough at pick 30. Who said that this week? Somebody told us that this week.
I've said that 10 times this week.
It was you, though.
So I've heard it from a lot of people. Like, that is a thing to me. If Kenneth Grant isn't there, I'm not sure. Like, the sales guy, the Ohio State guy, I don't know, man. Like, I might be able to get something pretty comparable to that on Saturday. And that's a reason, I think, all the more.
Or Friday. Everything
that, or Friday, yeah. Even. But I don't know that I want to invest a premium pick in a space eater if that's all he's going to be. You know, like, if you get your hands on Walter Nolan, that's more at Oliver. And I don't know that they want to do that. That would make sense at 30 if he were to fall that far. I just don't think it's likely you're going to get everything you want there.
I think it could be an interesting night if their mind is on cornerback and they think all the different Barron, Johnson, Hairston, Amos, there might be someone else. Sal had a longer list than that, but some of those names were not like first round names usually. If they have a number, who knows if they really don't like one of them, but say they don't have that issue. And you've got five guys here going in the first, not including Hunter. You've got five guys going in the first round and four of them go. We'll see then if they get antsy and move up. I mean, the Ravens can always do anything. They'll just take whoever their best guy is, not beholden to, it seems like that's their reputation, not beholden to positional need or anything like that. So that might not be ideal for the Bills if that's what we get. Like, Amos or Hairston go earlier than you think, top 20.
Then you're to guys with injury concerns. Ravel with the ACL, Morrison with the hip.
Johnson even maybe if he falls.
Yeah, so that it could get dicey there.
Thanks again, Dennis. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog here, 803-0550. I'll give you that new name. Fun one to talk about in a mock draft I just saw when we return. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this, just like Dennis gave us his. Back after the update on WGR.